From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Dr. Cairns will today bring the next portion of a message entitled, Pictures of Triumphant Grace, a study of the Epistle to Philemon. As a prisoner in Rome, Paul continued his ministry of preaching the gospel to everyone he met. The slave Onesimus had fled to Rome from Colossae, where he had stolen from his master Philemon, one of Paul's converts. Having led Onesimus to saving faith in Christ, Paul now sends him back to his master, pleading not only friendship, but also his authority as an apostle of Christ. Paul calls upon Philemon to receive the converted slave as a brother in Christ. Paul showed the grace of God in his own life, recognizing that he deserved hell just as much as this runaway slave. Yet Christ had saved him and given him a burden for others. It was a mark of the great apostle's heart that he treated others just as Christ had treated him. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called A Guide All the Way. The text is found in Psalm 48 and verse 14. He will be our guide even unto death. We need a guide. Sometimes we would give all that we have to be told exactly what to do and where to turn. We are willing to do right, but we do not know which one of two roads we are to follow. Oh, for a guide! The Lord our God condescends to serve us as guide. He knows the way, and will pilot us along it till we reach our journey's end in peace. Surely we do not desire more infallible direction. Let us place ourselves absolutely under His guidance, and we shall never miss our way. Let us make Him our God, and we shall find Him our guide. If we follow His law, we shall not miss the right road of life, provided we first learn to lean upon Him in every step that we take. Our comfort is that as He is our God forever and ever, He will never cease to be with us as our guide. Even unto death will He lead us, and then we shall dwell with Him eternally, and go no more out forever. This promise of divine guidance involves lifelong security, salvation at once, guidance unto our last hour, and then endless blessedness. Should not each one seek this in youth, rejoice in it in middle life, and repose in it in old age? This day, let us look up for guidance before we trust ourselves out of doors. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
You know, in a sense, the testimony of Onesimus is the testimony of every Christian. Slaves of sin. Thieves who have taken every good gift of God and have turned it to the service of the devil. runaways from divine justice, under condemnation of eternal death, and yet one day the grace of God caught up with us, brought us to our knees and to the place of repentance, washed us in the precious blood of the Lamb, put away our guilt and our sin and our shame, brought us from darkness to light, from death to life, from damnation to justification, reconciled us to God, and made us profitable in the service of Christ. When you think of it, the God who could call the angels to his service and send them in his commissions would take guilty, hell-deserving, wretched sinners such as you and I and make us profitable in the service of Jesus Christ. There's triumphant grace for you in the life of Onesimus. Paul was a child of his age. Left to himself, I don't think for one moment Paul would have transcended the norms of his age. It was grace that made him transcend those norms. Paul looked at Onesimus and he didn't see a slave on the run. He saw a soul on its way to hell and he longed to see that soul saved. Now it's very easy for us to say that. But even the greatest philosophers in ancient times had no such concept. The two greatest of the Greek philosophers, I suppose, were Aristotle and Plato. Aristotle used all the mighty powers of his great intellect to define the institution of slavery and to spell out the intrinsic worthlessness of slaves. And even Plato's Republic wrought right into the fabric of what he thought was the ideal society, the institution of slavery. They could see no value in a slave. He was a nobody. He was a nothing. Now, Paul lived in times when the philosophy of such men had formed the whole moral climate. They had formed even the religious beliefs. But Paul did not fall for that nonsense. And when this man, Onesimus, stood before him, Paul did not look upon him as a slave, but as a soul. You see, Paul, unlike Aristotle and Plato and all the rest of them, Paul knew his own heart. And Paul knew his own plague. And he also knew that the grace and power of God that could save him could save anybody. He himself was a recipient of grace. Paul had no illusions about himself. When he looked at Onesimus, he saw a man who was not one whit more worthy of hell than he was. When he looked inside himself, he saw the power of grace. He saw what the transforming gospel of Christ could do. And so as he felt the grace of God, he had a great love for souls as souls. He didn't care who they were, what their station was, what their background was, what their nation was, what their race was, what their religion was. He had a great love for souls as souls. He wasn't particularly worried about their legal position. He wasn't particularly worried about their condition in society. He wasn't even particularly worried about the strictures of the law against him for harboring this slave for the time that he needed to have him in order to win him for Christ. Paul had grace in his heart, and the man, I tell you, who feels grace in his own soul, the man who feels the miracle of saving grace in his own soul, is a man who will always have a love for the souls of others. People who can give up sinners and let them go to hell without a thought, without a care. Churches that can sit back and let the perishing perish. And what does it matter to us? I say those people in those churches have little or no experience themselves of the power of triumphant grace. When you have felt the grace of God, you're going to have a love for souls. Oh, may God give us a passion for souls. The passion for souls, some people think, comes through lurid descriptions of their debased condition. Well, that may stir you for a moment or two, but no more. The passion for souls, some people think, comes from a burden about hell, a vision of hell. Well, that certainly is better. William Booth used to pray that his Salvation Army officers or cadets could get a vision of hell and make them burn forever. But you know, even that will not last. There's one thing will give you a love for souls, and that is a knowledge of the love of Christ for you. When you feel how deep in sin you were by nature, when you feel how wretched and unclean you yourself are by nature, when you see yourself as a candidate for hell and you're worth nothing by virtue of any goodness in yourself, that your only worth is bestowed by the gracious hand of God, and when you see that Christ came to save you, then, my friend, His love will kindle a love for souls within your heart. The old time preachers, half of them were Arminian, half of them were holiness. But, well, not quite half, for there were still a few Calvinists who talked the same way. But they used to pray that the Lord would live His life through them. That the Lord would love the souls of men through them. That the Lord would look at men through their eyes. In other words, they're saying, Lord, so possess my mind that I think of people as Christ thinks of them. I look on sinners as Christ looks on them. I look on the great cities of this world as Christ looked in the cities of His day. I weep o'er the erring one with the tears of Christ. I have the burden that broke the heart of the Savior for sinners that are going down to hell. I tell you, my friend, Paul had a love for souls, even the most debased and the most despised. God forgive us. God forgive us for the hardness of our hearts. Then the grace of God is seen in Paul in a second way, and that is that he treated others as the Lord had treated him. You look at verse 17 to verse 19, you have one of the loveliest passages in all the New Testament. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Now watch it carefully. The verb in verse 18, put that on mine account, appears only one other time in the New Testament, and it's Romans 5:13. And it's translated rightly, impute. And that's one of the key verses, one of the key words in Paul's whole description and discussion of the doctrine of justification. Impute. Now keep that in mind as you read verse 17 and 18 again. Dr. Schofield has a beautiful note in the Schofield Bible at this particular point. And this is what he says. Verse 17 and 18 perfectly illustrate imputation. Receive him as myself. That is, reckon to him my merit. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. That is, reckon to me his demerit. There, my friend, is in summary form the whole doctrine of justification. Paul had felt this. Paul had experienced this. Indeed, this was the heart of the whole ministry of the apostle. You read the letters of Paul, and he's constantly preaching justification. He's preaching the two great points. What are they? Christ Jesus says, Father, reckon the demerit of the sinner to me, and reckon my merit to him. Lord, make me sin for him, and make him righteousness in me. Lord, let me bear the shame and the agony and the suffering and the punishment. And let him, the poor sinner who believes in me, let him enter in to all that I purchased by my righteousness. Imputation. Counter-imputation. Impute, says Christ, impute my righteousness to the believer, and do it on the basis that you have imputed his guilt to me. That's the glory of the gospel. Imputation. Paul loved that theme. He preached it constantly. Some of the greatest texts in the New Testament are Paul making clear the glories of imputation of our sin to Christ. And Christ's righteousness to us. He felt it. Now, since Paul felt that so much himself, how could he treat other people but by a different standard? Paul treated Onesimus as Christ had treated him. I would say that is one of the greatest triumphs of grace in a man's life that ever you'll see. When we deal with other people as Christ has dealt with us. The golden rule given in the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 12 and 7, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is a wonderful rule of life. We ought never to forget it. You treat other people as you would have them treat you, and do not treat them as you would not have them treat you. But here the apostle lifts it even further. And he says, I will treat other people as God in Christ has treated me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, We invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.